Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our reading of Juz 27 of the Quran. We start with Surah Dhariyat. This is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saying to the Prophet, to the angels, what have you been sent for? And they say that we've been sent to these transgressing people, and we're going to carry out this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stoning them and other such things. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a sign that He has left for the believers, for those who submit to take heed from, and for those who fear the punishment, the painful punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about other prophets, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, sent to Fir'aun, and ultimately فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ, his army was grabbed and drowned in the sea. And then Aad, who had this destructive wind that came and absolutely destroyed everything. And then Thamud, and then they were grabbed by the Sa'iqa. And then the Qawm of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were also transgressors. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of his signs, about the earth and the sky, and how it was created with immense power and strength, and the earth and how it was spread, and everything is created in pairs. And then it says, فَفِرُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, so come running to God. Run away. Firar is to run away from something. It's saying run, but there's only one escape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protection. Wherever you go, try and find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't make any partners alongside him. And then if you come near the end, it speaks about and give guidance and give warnings to people, wadhakir, give reminders to people, because these reminders benefit believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one of the most famous verses in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and man and jinn were not created except to worship me. The purpose of all or both of them is to know God, to be one with God, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't want for them to give me rizq. I don't want rizq from them. I don't want them to feed me. I just want them, that's because that's the way they act, you know, and also because they used to have idols and they used to feed the idols. But also there's this way, like this modern capitalism, it's as if you're trying to satiate the God. A God, that's how you're feeding, that's how you're consuming and just exploiting and producing, as if like there's some sort of a'udhu billah, divine stomach that needs to be filled, a'udhu billah. This is one interpretation I've heard from some of the ulama. Ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he doesn't need sustenance from you. Inna Allahu razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. Ultimately he is the sustainer of everything, and there will be an immense punishment for those who reject the signs and who disbelieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to Surah Tur, another surah full of signs. It's a very beautiful surah. Surah Tur, they mention in the narrations, was responsible for many of the Sahaba accepting Islam. They would hear the surah being recited and it would rejuvenate their faith, and it makes arguments and it presents so the divine argument for the existence of God and other such things. And so it comes, it makes these promises, these oaths about from various things like the sea and the Mount of Tur. And then it says, that the punishment of your Lord is guaranteed to take place, and there's nothing that can stop this. And the day all of this, the heavens and the earth, will be completely and utterly disrupted. فَوَيْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, on that day is just utter destruction and damnation for those who have rejected, who just, everything's just been a big game to them, and they'll be called to the fire of hell and said, this is the fire that you rejected. Is it magic? Is it an illusion? A'udhu billah. Very powerful. Isloha. Throw them in. Burn in the fire. Fasbiru or la tasbiru. Patience or no patience. Everything's the same. And then it talks about the believers. That innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa na'im. The believers have these gardens, and they'll be given all of this reward, and they'll get to eat and drink, and they're reclining, and they've got these beautiful wives, and والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء. Interesting verse. Talking about the descendants of the believers and how they also will rise to the rank, but the diminishing of the rank or the reward of those initial people will not happen. Everybody will get what they deserve. Then it talks again about the Garden of Paradise. You have these fruits, lahm, you get meat. There's a lot big trend now of like meat eating and steaks and all of these other things you can watch people make on YouTube and stuff. But that's the craving the human being has for this meat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give all of it. And there will be these young servant boys that will go around and that will serve them. And there's just, and they're all having conversations and they're asking questions of each other and they're all speaking to each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you carry on giving this reminder to people because you're not a magician and you're not, so you're not a soothsayer and you're not mad. And then they make all of these accusations, and ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that ultimately that all these, the things that they say, they make up, then if it's all a lie, because they make these aspersions on the Quran that it's all just made up and it's all just, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then bring something like it. Bring something like the Quran, accept the challenge. And then this verse, this section of verses, verse 35 onwards, it's an argument made for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing? Oh, of course not. This isn't like unfathomable that you could come from nothing. أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Are they the creators? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Did they create the heavens and the earth? بَلْ لَا يُقِنُونَ. They have no certainty about any of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even presenting the case that He's the creator. But He's saying, let's look at all the other possibilities that you have. All of them fall by the wayside. They're completely and utterly nonsense. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, do they have the treasures of your Lord? And do they have the ability to listen to things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the heavens? And then they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters and you yourself have sons. It's all of these challenges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting to these people. أَمْ لَهُمْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Do they have a God other than Allah? Subhanallah عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Glory, glorious, exonerated is Allah from all of that which they associate with Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if all the signs were to start presenting themselves, they would still find a way to sort of reject everything. And ultimately the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, that you just have to be patient. You present the signs, if they reject them and their ignorance doesn't allow them to accept, you just be patient with the ruling of your Lord, because we're watching you, and praise your Lord, glorify Him whenever you stand, and in the night, praise Him and make tasbih of Him, and in the night time as well. And so now here, then we move on to Surah Al-Najm, which is interesting because Surah Al-Tur finishes with mention of the stars, and then straight away Surah Al-Najm starts with and the star, making an oath by the star with regards to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a Makki surah, again defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quite remarkably. When Najmi idha hawa, this promise is made by the stars when they disappear, that your companion is not misguided, and nor is he astray. And then all he ever says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak from caprice or desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Everything he says is just revelation. He was taught by Angel Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Mi'raj. Okay, so remember we spoke about the Isra in Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel, right at the beginning. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Here now is a mention of the Mi'raj, the actual rising of the heavens to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is two bows length or less. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his slave what he revealed, and his heart did not belie what he saw. And do you cast aspersions on him? He saw all of these things. He saw the Garden of Paradise. He saw the Sidratul Muntaha. And his eye did not divert, nor did it go astray. لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He saw from the great signs of his Lord. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. And then it starts speaking about their idols. Yes, about Lat and Uzza and Manat, and these are the idols that the mushrikeen used to worship. And then who are these things that you're calling on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. These are just names. Again, this idea of the social construct of gods, this idea that all of this is all invented for the sake of nefarious purposes. These are just names that you and your forefathers gave. This rock and that stone and that symbol and that star and all of these things. ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. They have no actual power. They just, everything is just following caprice and desires. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm just thinking where we are, talks about the angels. It talks about that they give the angels these female names. It's a defense of the angels from their claims that they're the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it talks about, ultimately, they don't know anything. They're just making all of this up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who really knows. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. This is the limit of their knowledge. Indeed, it is your Lord who knows. about the people who are misguided from the path, and he knows those who are guided to the path. And power is his. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. And he's going to give everybody their just deserts, the reward that they deserve. And there are those people that deserve goodness because they stay away from the most heinous of sins. And they make some mistakes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-encompassing in his mercy. He knows everything about you, about your inception and your birth and your growth. And so don't ever think too big about yourself. And then it talks about the people who reject the signs, and ultimately everything is going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a second mention of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. He is the one who causes to laugh and to cry and to die and to live. He created everything from this fluid, and everything has grown into what it's grown. And then it talks about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the nations who rejected his message previously, Aad and Thamud and the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And that these are all just warnings that have been given to the people before, and ultimately the day of judgment is incumbent, it's inevitable when it comes. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you laugh at all of this, at the end you're going to have to just fall into prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that brings us to the end of Surah Al-Najm. Then Surah Qamar. And we've kept it quite brief. Surah Qamar is a difficult surah, you know, I have to say. I think it's quite difficult, and it's quite short as well. But this is a Makki surah again. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour is close and the moon has been split. And they say this is a reference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great miracle that he had, which recently some people were denying. But it's in the Quran. It's in the first verse of Surah Qamar. The splitting of the moon that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as a challenge to the mushrikeen of Mecca. And how every time they see a sign, they reject it and say it's all magic. And ultimately, there's all of this guidance and warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought for the disbelievers to take faith. And there will be a day. They have to accept now, because if they don't, there's going to be a day when they're going to come all out of their graves like locusts. And it'll be a very difficult day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. And this surah is going to have a lot of discussions about the prophets of old and what they went through, and the warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and reminding the mushrikeen that there were nations that came before you that rejected things, and ultimately every single one of them is obsolete, has been destroyed. And so he talks about Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He makes this dua, Anni maghlubun fantasir. It's a beautiful dua. If you're ever in difficulty and hardship, if you make this dua, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of victory to you. And so ultimately the rain came down and everything, just the water was everywhere. And then Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is on the ship, and ultimately that's the adab and the nudur, the punishment and the warnings that have come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an interesting verse that's going to come up again a couple of times. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have made the Quran easy for remembering. So are there any who will take heed? And so this is just a sign that a lot of the time people find that engaging with the Quran, they find it a very monumental task. And it doesn't have to be. And it isn't, because the Quran says it isn't. The Quran is accessible. It's easy. It can be remembered. It can be memorized. You just have to be one of those people who's ready to take heed of the Quran. You have to just put the effort in. If you give something, if you give everything you have to the Quran will open its doors to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we made it easy. And that also means all the tools you need to understand the Quran are also easy. Arabic, in spite of human trepidation, is not as difficult as people make it out to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In Arsalna alayhim, it talks about the wind that was sent down to the people of Ad, which destroyed everything, which was their punishment. And they were just completely uprooted, like these date palm trees. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, فَكَيْفَ عَذَا كَانَ عَذَابِ وَنُذُرْ. This warning. There's a surah, just 27, has some repetition. Obviously, we have the very famous surah repetition coming soon. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّنُ الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرْ. كَذَّبَ الثَّمُودُ. Thamud were also warned. And they said, do we have to follow a man just like us? And then they rejected him completely. And then they were sent the she-camel. And it was a test for them. And they weren't able to be patient with the test, because they saw that the she-camel was drinking more water than their normal camels, or it had increased access. And so what do? They attacked the camel. And then again, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِ وَنُذُرْ. The punishment had to come. It's all about just this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented the sign to them, and they just were in this obstinate rejection. It's difficult to understand, but I always now, you have to see these examples of the obstinate rejectors, civilizationally, watching Israel, which, you know, like, it's like the West could never come to terms with the fact that these people were heinous, evil people, murderous people. But as long as they were killing Muslims, people didn't care. And then they killed these poor chefs from the chef kitchen, or these workers and aid workers. Now suddenly they're like, and now they're looking at it and saying, well, it's clearly they targeted them, and everything you look at is like they did it on purpose. And then now they're seeing this impunity, this obstinate rejection of human dignity. And so in a sense, that's what we're seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you need to just see the signs. You need to stop that these people, they don't care. There are people who just do not care about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the sayha, the one scream, and it destroyed everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Then it talks about the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wassalam, and how all of them were destroyed apart from the family of Lut, and they were saved in the morning. And this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about how they came after the guests, the angels. And these are stories that we've covered before, so this is just repetition for us, but not repetition for the Quran, because the Quran is telling the story and it's telling it again in its most remarkable way. But here, instead of فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُورِ, the punishment and things, it says فَذُوقُوا, taste it now. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And then it talks about Fir'aun, the ultimate evil man, the evil, the most remarkable symbol of arrogance and evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how he was also destroyed. سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُورَ, that every, you know, the army is completely and utterly destroyed. يُوْمَ يُسْحَبُونَ فِي النَّارِ. And then it talks about the day of judgment, that they will have to taste the saqar, the blazing flame of the fire of hell. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just reiterates his own power, his own majesty, and then the reward of the people of goodness. And then we move on to a very beautiful surah, which we definitely don't have time. This is two Ramadans ago I did tafsir of this surah. I never finished it, actually. This is a surah of mercy, Surah Ar-Rahman. And it starts with the merciful name of Allah. Every name of Allah is merciful. But Allah is this great name that encompasses all His divine attributes and names and blessings and everything. The Rahman, Ar-Rahman, is this great name, embodiment of mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. And then it just lists, one after another, this incredible list of just the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the human being. That He taught him the Quran, He created the human being, He taught him speech, the sun and the moon, the stars, the trees, all of them in prostration, the sky and the balance. He's placed the balance. Why is the universe in balance? Allah tatghaw fil mizan, don't break the balance. Recognize the balance, recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then perpetuate the balance. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ. Again, it reiterated, don't break the balance. Wazn, بِقِسْط, mizan, mizan. And then the earth that is created for the animals, and then the fruit, and all of these trees, and all of these different seeds and things that grow, and then the human being and what he's created from, the clay, and then you have the jinn, and then the first iteration of فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of the blessings of your Lord do you deny? The Lord of the two easts and the two wests, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the sea that has the barrier between it, all of the things that come out of the sea, the diamonds and the pearls and all of the incredible things, the ships that travel on the sea. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, everything in creation will ultimately perish. All that remains is the face, metaphorically, the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Every day, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly in a new state. This is a verse the Sufis love, but He's always creating or not or destroying or doing something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's elevating the ranks of somebody and debasing somebody else. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a new state, and the believer embodies that as well. Allama Iqbal used to love this verse, which was very important to him. Har lahzae mu'min ki nayi shaan nayi aan. He said, that's the kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an. The believer is in always a state of doing. He's in a state of perpetual force, enacting himself in the world, in the universe. And so that's, and then sanafrughu lakum ayyuha thaqalan, about the day of judgment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, leave them to me. I'm leaving everything for you. I'm coming for you. I'm abandoning all of my other tasks. It's a metaphor. It's not really, but He's saying how much focus He will give to the creation on that day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the angels, to the jinn and the humankind, of trying to escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no escape. And then the fire will come. And then it's very powerful, this depiction of hellfire and the punishment and what's going to happen on that day, and how people are going to be grabbed, and the fire of hell, and the drinks of the fire of hell. And every time it mentions the fire of hell, it's saying, which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Because it's a warning, but also it's this sign that the fact that I've told you about this punishment and the fact that it exists, maybe this is the thing that will dissuade you from disobeying me. So I've put it there. So that's why it's also a mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes with this immense depiction of the garden of paradise and the rivers of paradise and all of these reclining in paradise and the gardens and the women of paradise and the pearls of paradise and how all of this is just reward deserved for the good work done. And the fruits of paradise and all of these incredible things. Again, the women of paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks and then just finishes, says, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the being of great excellence and honor and dignity. And that brings us to an end of Surah Ar-Rahman. And then we very quickly, because we're running out of time, Surah Waqi'ah and Surah Hadith. Surah Waqi'ah is a surah about the Day of Judgment. About the coming of the Day of Judgment, there is definitely assurance, guaranteed that the Day of Judgment is going to happen, and everybody has to be in complete and utter submission to this reality, that all of the mountains and the earth and all of creation will be destroyed. And at the end, you're only going to have these three groups of people, the people of the right hand, the people of the left hand, and then the people, the forerunners, those who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noble souls like the prophets and others. And so you have to try. It's really an encouragement to be of the people of the forerunners. And then if not that, then be people of the right hand. But to do everything in your power not to be people who receive their book and then ultimately punishment in their left hand. And so it starts, it has this beautiful depiction of the Garden of Paradise, which we can't go into because we don't have time, the fruits and the meat and the women, and a lot of women, and yeah, it's just the peace and tranquility of paradise. And then it talks about the Ashab al-Yameen, whose reward is great, but it's not as great as those of the Sabiqoon. And it talks about everything that they're going to receive. And then I remember, Allah yarhamha, when my grandmother passed away, I recited this verse at her janazah. Inna ansha'nahunna insha'a faja'alnahunna abkara. That on the Day of Judgment, the women will come, these old women, they'll be brought back to life again, and they'll come back young. Beautiful. And just amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of our grandparents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of the left hand and their horrible, horrible punishment that they're going to have. And the reason why they have this punishment, because they rejected everything. They said, are we going to be brought back when we're just earth and bones? Are we going to come back? Even our forefathers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everybody's coming back. This is what you rejected. This is all you're going to get. And then they have to eat the zaqum tree, like we mentioned before, this horrible tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes in to talk about these various productions of man. Have you not seen what you do? So he's saying that, have you not seen, where are we? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Have you not seen the fluid that you release from yourselves that enables conception of human beings? Do you do the creation or is it us? It's all us. We do everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what about the sowing of the seeds? It's all us. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever you think you're doing, you're not doing anything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fire that you might light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grows the trees and does all of these things. Everything you do that's beneficial for you, whether it's procreation or whether it's agriculture or whether it's all of this stuff, all of it is enabled by the divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the truth of everything. He makes a qasam by the moon, by the stars, sorry. And then he says that everything, and he says this is a great promise that is about to be made. The Quran is true and it is in the sort of encased or covered book. Nobody can touch it except the pure. This is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all they reject. And ultimately, there's going to come a point where balagat al-hulqum, when they're going to be on the verge of death. And at that point, that's the nature of the reality that they're going to be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes again by telling us about the people of the right hand and the rewards that they're going to get, and then the rejectors, and then the punishment that they're going to get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna hadha lahu haqqul yaqeen." This is the truth of certainty, which is an incredible turn of phrase. فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. So glorify your Lord, the most magnificent. Then we finish with our last surah, Surah Al-Hadid, the surah of iron. Okay, and we have like 2 minutes to get through this. We'll go through this briefly, inshallah. It's a surah very much, it's a Madani surah, but again, it's going to cover some themes of there's a mix of things, but it starts with this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is ultimately the great creator, the first, the last, the hidden, the apparent, the creator of all the heavens and the earth. He has dominion over all things, and he asks that everybody believe in him. There's a lot of spend in the path of Allah, and then whoever spends in the path of Allah gets this great reward. Why, what is it that you don't believe in Allah? The Prophet is calling you to believe in your Lord. All of these signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, and then he says, why is it that you do not spend in the path of Allah? You know, maybe this is tawfiq really, that we should go and spend. Surah Waqi'ah is very interesting. Just a side point, Surah Waqi'ah is the Surah of Rizq. If you recite Surah Waqi'ah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your rizq and preserve. And many Sahaba would say, I leave no inheritance except Surah Waqi'ah. But then this Surah that comes straight after, like, we maintain the rizq, now spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the maintenance of rizq as well, to be honest. You spend in the path of Allah, Allah will protect your wealth. Talks about the people who spend again. Spend early, don't spend late, don't spend when everybody else has already spent. Who is it that can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a goodly loan? All of this will be multiplied. And then it talks about the believers. And another interesting theme, I think, in this surah is this idea of light. So you see them light in front of their faces, and of glad tidings of the day of judgment, day of goodness. And the hypocrites will say, give us some of your light. And then they'll be told, go back and get your own light. This is our light. This is the light we earned from worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him and spending in His path. And then there's no recompense. You can't pay your way out of the day of judgment. Again, spending. This idea that you can't, there's no spending on that day. Spend today. There's no spending on that day. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings, and then the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is brought back. Then those who give charity again and who give Allah good loan, very much super emphasizing charity again and again. And then to know that the life of this dunya is completely and utterly just games and play and just ostentation and just trying to have more and more and more and more in competition. And ultimately people get very excited by this, and ultimately this dunya will come to naught. It means nothing. And then so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, forget the dunya, it's all just delusion. Run, rush to and compete with each other to get to the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and a garden the size of the heavens and the earth. And everything that you are afflicted with is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it talks about the person who's stingy, because it's, again, spending the path of Allah. And those who are arrogant, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fact that He sent prophets with signs, and then He also sent this iron that has benefit for the human being. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then finally finishes the surah with the discussion of the prophets that came before, and the prophets that followed them in their path. And then it finishes with Nur, this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you if you believe in Him and His Prophet. And everything is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ultimate bounty belongs to Him. And so we finish the surah, Surah Hadid, which is a very beautiful surah. All of the surahs of the Quran are beautiful. And just today, this last verse that we're going to be zooming in on, I think 31 or 32, I can't remember, there's a 30 something times surah to فَبِأَيَّ عَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ comes in Surah Ar-Rahman. And it's just a complete and utter, which of your favors of your Lord? Meaning there's so many favors. So which one are you going to pick to deny? You know, look at that. Just turn a phrase. These Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. And the favors not just of anybody. They're the favors of your Lord. The nurturer, the nourisher, the carer, the supervisor, the protector. To kadhiban, and you man and jinn, you reject these signs. You reject the giver of all of these blessings. You don't even acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the blessings. So you have to acknowledge they're from Allah. You have to acknowledge their magnificence by coming from Allah. Then you also have to also utilize them in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you are grateful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain the balance of gratitude. And this is the balance. You have to balance. Blessings are balanced with gratitude. Blessings are, the ulama used to say, the trap. I think it's the trap. Something like that. The trap of blessings is gratitude. Sayyidun ni'mati ash-shukr. That to capture, to hunt and capture the blessing, that the blessing is there, to keep it with you, you have to give gratitude. If you're grateful for the blessing, Allah will keep the blessing with you. If you're ungrateful for the blessing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive you of that, and He will give you more reason to be ungrateful, because He will just pour on you difficult times and curses and horrendous things that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salam and afia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of gratitude and to bless the people of gratitude and to increase the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in happiness and blessings and to protect those who are going through difficult times in this current moment in the final days of the month of Ramadan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.